Brad Faxon joins us now, and Fax's mentor and putting coach for Rory. Look, I'm just a fan watching it. It was a roller coaster. What was the experience on Sunday like for you?
I don't know how Rory could hold it together in the press conference, because I saw more teary eyes than I've ever seen at any golf tournament. But I knew Rory was nervous. I got to speak with him Sunday morning about 10 o'clock before we went out there. He was at his rental house at the Masters, and he was with Poppy. Poppy was actually holding a golf club and trying to hit a little ball around the house, and Rory was kind of laughing, and Poppy said hello to me. And then I said, Rory, this might be a good idea. Why don't you just kind of practice putting like a child, get that childlike enthusiasm. You know, he had mentioned his dreams of winning the Masters since he was 8 years old. And I said, hey, what a way to think about it going out there. But, you know, the burden that's been on his shoulders since 2014, maybe even since 2011, you know, he became an anointed Masters champion by Jack Nicklaus after that first year in 2011, saying this guy's going to win so many of them. It's just, I can't think of a better Hollywood script written for the Masters tournament than what we just witnessed.
I mean, if you submitted that script, they'd say this is too ridiculous to have all these plot twists and twists and turns throughout the course of a round, and for Rory to start with a double and then go four under the next nine holes and blow a four-shot lead where he's a chaser. It was remarkable what unfolded in this final round. For you, being connected to Rory, but then having to go to spectator mode during the course of that. And it's not like you can tell him anything to course correct with the putter. And he makes big putts at 3, 4, and 5, then goes ice cold with the putter down the stretch, but makes the putt in the playoff hole to win it. What were the tells that you saw where maybe the moment was impacting Rory compared to the guy who had been top 10 in putting this season leading into the Masters?
Yeah, he's had a great start to the year on the greens. And my call was truly to try and just say, hey, listen, you know the mantra is going to be one shot at a time, one shot at a time, and repeat that. I had given him a quote I got from Paul Anacone, the tennis coach who's worked with Federer and Sampras and many other great tennis players. And he had this little saying called rinse, wash, repeat, rinse, wash, repeat. And obviously a tennis player has to do that every point, a golfer every shot. So there's that similarity there. Rory loves tennis. He had some, you know, what he called cliches written down in his yardage book. And I knew the immense amount of pressure there. It was kind of a try to lighten the load a little bit, give him something to talk about with his caddy, Harry, to him on the golf course. And, you know, I liken this round, you know, having that putter must have weighed like having a sledgehammer. The weight of the expectations of the world, what that must have felt like with all those putts, important putts. And, you know, it's interesting. The best two shots, he will say, were the wedge shot out of the trees on number 7, kind of went through a little gap there, might have ticked a branch or two. Nobody knew what was going. Harry said, I don't think you should hit this shot. Landed right by the cup, and then you guys said it, that 7-iron from over 200 yards on 15. It's amazing how players can pull it off in the clutch like Rory did. And then you have the simply unexplainable shots like the little pitch into 13, the third shot after playing a conservative way, which I thought was the correct way to play. It just shows what nerves can do to anyone. And it actually made for better TV. Justin Rose, we never spoke about it at all in the start to the broadcast as being a contender. And then when he hit that incredible iron to 16 and Rory made the double on 13, you're like, it's tied. And I don't think we'd ever see some of the most beautiful irons. And I think the most underrated shot really was the iron shot he hit to 16. The top right shelf is so small, you never see the flag stick up on there on Sundays. It was the 50th anniversary of Jack Nicklaus' victory and the long putt he made from down below there. But that was some shot as well.
You know, Fax, some people didn't get a chance to hear you Sunday night, and I just thought you were waxing poetically. It was just beautiful coverage from the Live From group in which you joined Sunday after the win. But you are placing this in a pantheon of moments in sports history, what Rory was able to achieve in Augusta. Where does this rank to you in golf lore and what Rory was able to achieve? And looking at moments in sport, how do you compartmentalize that, looking at the history and all of it it's provided?
Well, I would sum it up by saying, look, I'm happy and lucky that I've been around Rory for 7 years. He feels like a son to me in a lot of ways. And what he's given me is invaluable. But when he went to make the putt in regulation on the 18th hole for par, and the graphic that shows up in the top right screen says for the career grand slam, I mean, that's a once in a lifetime graphic, isn't it? Just remarkable. And, you know, that was a putt from 6 feet, had some break right to left. DeChambeau's putt didn't break to the left at the end of his, so maybe that fooled Rory a little bit because his stayed high. And then he has to go do it all over again, and he kind of had a fresh Justin Rose. And it's hard to believe that Rory hit a better tee shot than he didn't in regulation and then hit a career iron shot in there to wrap it up.
Yeah, I thought the exact same thing when I saw that graphic. It was like, we might not see this again for another 30, 40 years where it says for the career grand slam. Rory able to get it done. You were riding shotgun with him as part of the journey the past 7 years. Appreciate you hopping on with us after a long night on Live from the Masters.
Well, it was the best week ever. I'm glad I'm just such a small part of this team. And he's a tremendous guy. He's an Arnold Palmer-like player. He's got charisma, and maybe one of the coolest things I've witnessed is he's when he walks through a crowd and people are shouting Rory and can I have your autograph, he looks them in the eye. And that was a lesson I learned from Arnold Palmer my rookie year in 1984, when Arnold Palmer told me, if you want to have a long career here, look people in the eye, don't look down at your feet like a lot of the young guys do. And that was back in 1984, and Rory does that every single day.
That's pretty cool, Fax. Appreciate you joining us. Ride that wave into this week. Let's make this another great week for you, Fax. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, you guys.
So with more on Rory, it's time for a Golf Today roundtable. Let's welcome in Five Clubs host Gary Williams and GolfDigest.com contributor Shane Ryan. Gary, let's tee you up first. You've been around this game, covering this game a long time. How does yesterday's Masters stack up among the ones you've seen?
It's right at the top because for what Tiger did in 1997, it ushered in an era that we hadn't seen before because of how he pulled not only mainstream sports fans, but people outside of sports. 86 will always kind of have its own space because it was the bow on the greatest major championship career. And it's aged exceptionally well, but no player has gone into this, and it wasn't his third time trying to do it. His first opportunity was 2015, and you couple that with the absence of any other major, there's no player that's tried to win any major, let alone the career Grand Slam, and obviously to do it there. So I think it is easily top five, and it might be top three.
Yeah, hard to argue that. Shane, obviously the takeaway from Rory that was most impressive was the resiliency shown. Outside of that, what truly stood out to you from his roller coaster of a round on Sunday?
I think you said it, the roller coaster. I mean, I have ulcers. I've developed a dozen ulcers in my stomach. I'm in serious medical trouble because of this round. It had three, I think, of the greatest clutch moments I've ever seen and three of the worst pressure moments I've ever seen. It had everything. We lived and died 1,000 times with it. You could go through 3 years of majors and not hope to see the amount of drama that we saw last night. And, you know, when you think of his whole journey of the long drought he's been on, it's kind of like this mythic. He's like Odysseus, right? It's like this mythic journey. He could never get home. And it almost feels appropriate that it had to be this difficult to finally get over the finish line.
Shane, I'm going to hit you back to back because your Golf Digest article that came out today, it stated that we just watched the last great golf story as the headline. I want you to state your case to our audience here on Golf Today.
Yeah, well, I mean, my basic thesis is that this was something that matches 2019, at least in the high drama. Not only did you have a great victory, but you had a great character in Rory McIlroy, just like you had a great character in Tiger Woods. Any major after this that Rory wins, it'll be interesting, it'll be exciting, but it's not going to live up to this. This coming off the drought, ending this horrible dry spell that lasted a decade, that has a kind of magnitude that we're not going to see again. Now, what is next? You know, Rory asked that question in the press room. What are we going to talk about next year? Well, we'll find something to talk about, but believe me, it's not going to match up to this. And when I think when you look at the broader golf landscape, and this is just my opinion, but when you look at the stories off the course, oh my God, how dispiriting are they constantly? LIV versus PGA Tour, year after year after year. When you look at the crop of young players, is there anybody that can match Rory's charisma, his, you know, his everything, his dynamism, his electricity? I don't think we have that. I think, you know, maybe a little bit of hyperbole in the headline, but I truly believe we could go two decades without seeing something this incredible again.
Well, Shane, I'll take your hyperbole. I'll do you one better. Gary, and I'll be a prisoner of the moment, because everybody, Gary, that you listen to as they talk about Rory is, okay, well, what about a year Grand Slam? What about these next few majors lined up for him? How do you make – look, I'm not going to be one that says that Rory's going to rattle off three more, but I like him in two of the three for my very own reasons. But what is realistic to expect as a launching pad coming off Augusta for Rory here?
Yeah, Jordan, I think what's realistic is another one this year, because I understand Shane's point, and it has a lot of merit to it. But if the premise that he is liberated to the degree that we think he might be, and considering the way that this played out, obviously he was burdened, so much so that I honestly thought what we saw yesterday was a shining example of in real time seeing fight or flight on every other hole. Like, I'm digging in. No, I can't handle this. For him to get over the line in the manner in which he did, who knows if he is freed up to the degree that if he wins at Quail Hollow, which has been his happiest haunt, then all of a sudden we have something back in play here that as we go to Oakmont, which is the last place he missed a U.S. Open cut, and since then, his results have gotten incrementally better, and now he's the best player as far as U.S. Open golf with back-to-back seconds. Anybody who wins the first two makes that third unbelievably anticipated. So, yes, it is going to be very, very hard to get to where we just were. However, very quickly, we can get to a place like we were with Jordan Spieth in 2015 or Tiger in 2002 or Jack in 1972. The first two turn the next one into something that we rarely, rarely, rarely ever get, and it's very plausible.
Shane, is it pretty amazing how one hole can define Rory's legacy going forward in that sudden-death playoff? If he loses, we're talking about a Greg Norman-type 1996 collapse. He now wins it. He's completed the career Grand Slam. We're trying to project going forward, but when you think through the day that we saw with a great champion, he's now one of six to complete the career Grand Slam. Have you seen a more fragile superstar, in a sense, how he was oscillating between the clutchest moments we've ever seen, and then he'd seemingly choke or come unglued the very next hole?
Well, I just first want to say I'm in a panic right now because I made a bold prediction and Gary just outlined a very plausible scenario in which I could look like a fool in a month, not just in 5 years. Now, I was worried about 5 years. Now I'm worried about a month. So thanks, Gary. Like you said, I mean, it is a game of inches right now. We could look at it the other way. In Pinehurst on the 16th hole, what if he had made that simple 3-foot putt like he made, whatever, 180 out of 180 before that? Or you could look at the players back on the other side. The putt on 18 at night before the playoff, he misread that. It just catches the right side of the hole and trickles in. He goes into the playoff with JJ Spahn. Of course, he wins. And, you know, probably if he doesn't win the Players, if he blows that, does he have the confidence to win the Masters? And then, just like you said last night, game of inches, unbelievable mistakes, unbelievable clutch shots. And then it just comes down to this 125-yard approach. You know, Rose is, what, 19, 20 feet away. Rory had the same exact distance and duffed it into the bunker in regulation. He's got to make a great shot, and he does, and he hits it to, you know, a distance that I think still made a lot of us nervous, but turned out to be close enough to finally get over the finish line. So it was fantastic.
Gary, you know, we haven't had much conversation about the fifth place finish of Bryson, who was very much obviously in the hunt. This was billed as a duel in that final pairing with Bryson and Rory. And Bryson goes out there and he shoots a 75. It really confounding watching his day and how it played out, especially in how he was positioned thanks to Rory's start when he entered three with the lead. What did you make? What was so surprising, I guess, about Bryson Sunday to you?
I'll be honest, I wasn't particularly surprised. And I'm not saying that sitting here on a Monday afternoon. He was living on the edge. He was relying on something that's become very reliable. The closer he gets to the hole, he's become an excellent putter. His putter got him to Sunday. His ball striking was so inferior to Rory's over the course of three rounds, and that was on full display under the whitest of heat on Sunday. So, no, I didn't anticipate him, you know, shooting 75 and really by the 10th tee being out of it. And obviously, he was completely out of it after rinsing it on 11. I give him a lot of credit. This is somebody, guys, and you guys know this, he had no record at Augusta National. He had no idea how to kind of create his own roadmap. And he said some very cavalier things about, you know, what the scoring total should be for his style of play. But last year, he made that improvement. He started to understand how to solve the Rubik's Cube. And this year, he made even more progress. So even though it's a very deflating Sunday, not only for him, but also for us, because we thought it was going to be de facto match play by the 10th tee, but between him and somebody who he snatched the U.S. Open from last June. So I'm not particularly surprised. I also don't think, and don't know how Shane feels about this, I don't think this should be particularly deflating to him. Yes, the opportunities are precious, but this to me was only his second chance of really having a good week at Augusta, let alone legitimately being in contention. So I was not surprised because he was on the edge the whole week.
You know, guys, I got to say the number one rule of competition, as far as I understand it, is don't let the other guy know what bothers you. I think we know now that if you don't talk to Bryson, you're going to rattle him a little bit. He might need a little bit of conversation. I think he should have kept that one close to the chest. But no, I think Gary's right. I think, you know, there was something unstable about his play, as good as it was on Saturday, that spoke to the idea of it's going to be hard to maintain this, right? If you could make a bunch of 40-foot putts again, you know, more power to you. But I don't think it was too surprising to see him slip either. I think what was surprising is that nobody else challenged Rory except Justin Rose, who ended up being just a little bit farther down the leaderboard. I mean, if you had said to a lot of these guys, okay, Rory's going to come out tomorrow and he's going to shoot 73, you would think they would be, you know, licking their chops, but it just didn't turn out that way.
Ludvig Åberg flirted for a moment before fading those last two holes. Shane Ryan, Gary Williams, thanks for joining us here for the Golf Today Roundtable.
Thank you, guys.
Joined now by three-time major champion Padraig Harrington. Padraig, what a wild final round of the Masters for us watching it. It was a just complete roller coaster. Curious, through your lens as a player, what did you see from Rory McIlroy at Augusta National?
Yeah, I think as regards to roller coaster and the drama, Rory's probably not used to being a defensive player. All his mistakes seemed to come when he was trying to protect his lead. Normally, you know, when he wins tournaments, he kind of runs away from the field because he feels comfortable. It's not such a big issue to him or a big deal. He's won so many of them. But obviously, the Masters meant an awful lot to him. And, you know, he decided to get defensive on 13, both the tee shot, second shot, and then tried to hit in the middle of the green. And like every amateur, every pro would tell you, I was aiming at the middle of the green and the last thought was over at the flag and don't pull it left. And he's hit it in the wall. It was a shock to everybody, but you know, we know this happens to mere mortals when they're leading tournaments. It was interesting to see it happen to Rory at that moment in time. He backed it up with great shots. And I think ultimately Rory was going to be at the winning score no matter what happened that day. It's just the nature of it. If he had to hit a great shot, he did. And because it meant so much to him, the defensive play can sometimes be the hardest thing in golf.
Padraig, you know, thinking back to 2007 when you won your first of three majors, that Open, it came in a playoff versus Sergio Garcia. There's not many people in the world you can ask the question of what's going through your mind, the gravity in that type of moment. You in that chasing that first major, Rory trying to complete the career slam in a playoff. What's the mindset? What was Rory thinking? What were the emotions he was going through to try and punctuate this thing?
You know, I don't know with Rory. I know personally I don't want to be happy to be in a playoff. I think that's a silly thing. I see a lot of people turn up in a playoff and they're happy to be there. And I'm going, no, I want to win. This isn't about me turning up and being happy. I think another thing for me when it was the playoff, I had to watch Sergio play the last hole. So kind of the opposite. I'd be more in Justin Rose's shoes. Mm. I'm watching somebody play the last hole. Sergio needed to miss a putt. I watched him hit the putt, but I wasn't sitting there thinking miss, 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 even though I needed him to miss. And when he did miss, I didn't get a big high out of it. I didn't get a big, there was no highs and lows for me. I walked to that first tee playoff in a very determined, calm place. I had no big adrenaline rush because I got into the playoff. I think that's one of those things. You've got to be very resolute and very stern. I do think the playoff, you know, as regards Rory, you know, the fact that Justin went first and hit the fairway, that's huge. Like the odds are massive in Justin's favour once he does that, because, you know, if you miss the fairway left or right in 18, it's nearly a guaranteed bogey. So, you know, there was a lot of pressure on Rory with that tee shot. And, you know, if anything's changed in Rory's game, I think over the last year, and you know, people are saying his wedge play, but he was the number one wedge player on the PGA Tour in 2020, 2019, 2020, 2021, something like that. I remember McGinley quote, number one wedge player, as in number one, better than all the short hitters. Rory McIlroy led that proximity. So it's not about his wedge play. It was about that drive he hit off 18. He couldn't do that off the 18th hole in Pinehurst. He didn't have that fade that was required down the 18th. A lot of times last year when he went for his fade, he hit a pull draw. Whereas around the Race to Dubai finals out in Dubai at the end of the year, he started hitting a very, very powerful, low controlled fade up that 18th in particular out there in Dubai. And he then used it again on the 18th, which is huge for him. Because Rory's, if he has any struggles, it's, you know, the likes of the second hole where there's danger left. You know, he's tending to protect the left-hand side of the golf course. But now with that low fade, he's a very dangerous player going forward. Not that he wasn't a complete article before, but he's certainly adding to his arsenal with that shot off the 18th tee.
Padraig, you two are forever intertwined with your 07 Open win at Carnoustie. Rory, the low am that week. You go on that tear the next year, winning back-to-back majors to finish up 2008. First European to win back-to-back majors in the same season, something Rory then does 6 years later. To see his arc to now complete the career Grand Slam with five majors since those 18 years have gone on with Father Time when you guys were tied together at that 2007 Open. What's it been like to see his journey?
Yeah, look, Rory's clearly been the number one player in golf for the last 14, 15 years. You know, other players have come and gone and become the world number one. But over the whole stretch of time, Rory has always been up there. You know, his game has been exemplary. He really should have got more majors, but he won so many tournaments. It wasn't like he wasn't winning Order of Merits and tournaments. And so it was kind of circumstantial that he didn't maybe get a couple of majors in that time. The Masters was different and always was different. You know, he's carrying a lot of baggage since 2011. He wants it so much. Like, if you watched him in the final 18 holes there, like, we've never seen Rory as emotional about his shots, talking about his shots when the ball was in the air, talking after, you know, bending down, putting his head in his hands all the way through the final round. That's how emotional, how much it meant to him. The Masters was a distinctly different to every other tournament for Rory. Now he's over that. You know, he asked in his press conference, what are we going to talk about next year? Well, we're going to talk about this year, whether he can make the yearly Grand Slam. We're going to talk about whether he can beat Nick Faldo's record of six majors. We're going to talk whether he can get to 10 majors. And guess what? We're going to talk about whether he can get to 15 majors. And then we're going to talk about whether he can get to 18 majors. And the beauty for Rory is his game is future-proofed. He's not a guy who gets injured. He's extremely powerful. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All these kids coming out of college who hit it miles, it doesn't matter to Rory. He is already the longest. Nobody's going to have an advantage over. And they might ease into Rory's advantage. But his game is future-proof. So the only thing Rory has to mind for the next, you know, 10 years anyway of good playing golf is that he doesn't get burnt out, that, you know, mentally, yeah, you know, he still wants it. And another good thing for Rory puts a lot of effort into the gym as a way of practicing his golf. You know, it's not his gym time is a way of him improving and getting better, and he likes the gym. And that takes away from him having to hit as many balls. He stays nice and healthy because of it. So, yeah, I envisage Rory going on for a good few years. You know, he made that comment a few weeks ago about not playing the Champions Tour. And that was a protectionist thing because Rory's already been playing golf close, pretty competitively for 35 years or so, you know, since he's, say, 10 anyway. So, you know, if you told him he has to keep playing for another 20 years, that would burn him out right now on the spot. So when he was kind of saying, oh, I don't see myself playing in 15 years' time. Well, the reality is that 15 years will come quick, but it also is a protectionist mechanism to say, hang on a second, this isn't going to last forever. I have an out, but the out will never come because, you know, Rory loves his golf. He's a bit of a golf nerd, Rory. So he's never going to give it up. He's going to keep playing. But in his head, he has to say there is an end. But that end could be, as I said, we could start talking about 10, 15 majors. Crazy stuff now that he's got the last of the Grand Slam, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Padraig, I was going to ask you about what does this unlock for Rory, but you kind of touched upon it. The opportunity limitless for the superstar after unlocking this win down there in Augusta and completing that slam. So I guess I'd pivot to what was leading up to this. So much of the conversation about the mindset going into the Masters, especially for somebody like Rory, was so much on the line. You were able to visit with him. You shared a meal a few weeks before the Masters. Did you pick up on anything that he was in a great headspace entering this thing?
You know, I unfortunately, I talk to Rory over the years, and I tell him what I'm thinking. And sometimes I can be a bit honest about the game and getting people's heads when I don't want to. I found Rory incredibly relaxed this year. He's had his couple of wins. But, you know, when we were there in Houston, we were messing around a bit in the range, doing a bit of speed work, as you would expect. And then we went out for dinner. I found him very comfortable in his own skin. Now, there's reasons for that. You know, Rory is as good a player as he is. Over the last 4 years, he was scrambling at the start of the year for what his preparation was going to be. Should I play more events? Should I play less? This year, he was very comfortable with his preparation, and he was also comfortable with he was the best player. Now, the reality is Xander and Scotty both got injured this year. They both haven't had their game this year. So Rory wasn't looking over his shoulder anywhere near as much. He wasn't going in there worried about the opposition as much as, you know, back when Jordan was there or DJ playing the best, you know, Rory was concerned about other people. This time round, he was very comfortable with himself and what he's doing. He couldn't have been in a better place going into the event, but it was the Masters. And you know, there's more to it than just, you know, if he can find that headspace going into every event, it doesn't mean he'll win them. But it would certainly give him more chances of winning. And the more chance you have, the more you get the right breaks at the right time.
Padraig, what does this win mean to golf fans back in Ireland? And where does Rory now stack up in the eyes of European golf fans with his career resume?
I think Rory's the biggest draw in golf at the moment, the biggest name in golf, the biggest brand in golf. He needed this win to back that branding up. You know, and I think at times, you know, players would be jealous of Rory's success off the golf course, his financial success, his power in the game of golf. Him winning the Grand Slam backs it up. It demands that kudos now for where he is in the brand of golf. And to be honest, he's jumped outside of golf and outside of Ireland. Like, you know, he was always a big deal in Ireland, and it is a huge deal that he won in Ireland. But it's a huge deal for the sport. A huge deal for golf in general. Like, everybody tuned in. It was a fantastic Masters to watch. The drama, the excitement. I think it did the world of good for golf. And I think it transcended golf in itself. And you only have to look at the kind of tweets and where they're coming from, the different types of people in the world of sport and outside of sport who are congratulating Rory. He really, it's a big step to get outside of your country. And then it's a huge step to get outside of your sport. And Rory, his brand had been doing that, but now he's backed it up with a Grand Slam. Nobody can second guess that he is at the absolute pinnacle of the global brand of golf.
I said yesterday there are two big winners, Rory McIlroy and the game of golf. Padraig, always awesome to be able to spend some time with you, the three-time major champ here on Golf Today.
I, you know, it'd be amiss of me not to comment. I you know, because we were going on it. I can't believe how much Bryson changed his game plan, not his game plan, but his style of play, his personality for that last round. If, you know, when he won it, you know, clearly he doesn't like the label of being a bomb and gouge player, and he tried to be play smart and strategy. Would Bryson, with a one-shot lead, have hit an iron off the tee at Pinehurst last year on the third hole? Not a chance. He would have gone driver, tried to drive the green, and it could have changed the whole face of everything. Like, it's startling how much... Yeah, I know he didn't have his A game or whatever, but his driving was still pretty good. It was startling how much Bryson has been affected by his criticisms, you know, and look... The commentary just kept criticizing Bryson for the way the style of play, but Bryson's style of play is what got him two majors already.
Yeah.
And he broke away from it purely based on the external pressures for him to be a more ordered, nice golfer. You know, would Bryson at Pinehurst last year hit 3 wood off the first tee? Like, he should have stood up there, bashed it over that bunker like Rory tried to do. And if he hits it over the bunker and Rory hasn't, you know, he could strut down there at the same on number three. Mm-hmm. If he drove it on the green on number three, he's strutting down there. And we never know what the psychological effect each player has on each other during a round of golf. Because it's hypothetical. But for me, that was a massive change of personality. And we know golfers have got to stick to who they are. They don't do very well. If you're a hot-headed guy, you don't do well being calm, and if you're a calm guy, you don't do well, you know, losing your temper. You've got to stick to your golfing personality, and certainly I think the external pressures on Bryson to be something he isn't, and we got it very much in the commentary. It was different commentary over here, but, like, you know, they were laying into him thick and fast because of his style of play, but that's who he is. It's got him two majors, and it will get many more majors. You've got to be true to yourself, and I don't think, you know, I don't think Bryson was.
Interesting. Wise words, and yeah,
very interesting.
One of the best minds in the game here, Padraig Harrington. Appreciate the insights.
You're welcome, guys.
With more reaction, we welcome in our friends and colleagues, Todd Lewis and Rex Hoggard. Todd, you can understand. I'm going to start with the president, Rex Hoggard here. Rex, the battle for Rory on Sunday was as much Rory versus Rory as it was Rory versus the field. In all the majors that you've covered, can you draw on a comparable story to what we saw unfold at Augusta National?
George, I don't think there is a comp. Not to what we saw Sunday, not to what we've seen over the last 10 years with Rory McIlroy. I think that's what makes this so special. And for him to do it in signature Rory style, I think, is almost apropos. I'm sure he would have loved to have had a four-stroke lead at the turn, which he did, and to carry that all the way through. That didn't work out. It clearly turned out to be a much more difficult task for him. But in the quiet moments following what happened on Sunday, I bet he thinks to himself, yep, that's exactly how it should have happened. That's what the last 10 years have meant, trying to get the career Grand Slam, trying to win another major, trying to win the green jacket for the first time. There is no comp to that, because I think this is such a unique situation. There's only been five other players who've completed the career Grand Slam, and I don't think any of them went through it like Rory did, because they all got to that last leg of the career Grand Slam within 3 years. None of them really had to suffer and endure for an entire decade.
Todd, just a top shelf interview with Rory. Riveting stuff to listen to. Playing it on the show here, and a lot was taken away from it. But Todd, I want to focus in on, you know, just how big of this burden was on Rory, this majors drought, but also this masters drought.
It was very heavy. There is no doubt about it. As a matter of fact, I echo what Rex was saying. I can't remember a tournament, especially a big one like that, a major championship, specifically the Masters, where I've seen a player struggle so hard to win. As a matter of fact, when Rory had that unfortunate bogey on the 72nd hole, myself, my producer, Andrew Bradley, our director of player relations, we all got together, and Courtney Holt and I, and we just said, we need to put ourselves in position to make sure we get video of Rory leaving Augusta National, because this is going to be such a massive disappointment if he loses, that just like he did at Pinehurst, he is going to leave and not talk to the media. So we have to have ourselves positioned in the right places with our cameras. That's how emotional and heavy it was. I will say this, though. I think, and this is what I digested. Bryson DeChambeau was not playing well. And when Rory McIlroy came to the 10th tee, he had a four-shot lead. Now, if Bryson was tied with Rory McIlroy, or if they were separated by one shot, I think you would have seen a different Rory McIlroy on that second nine. But because he had a large four-shot lead with nine holes to go, Rory was facing his biggest nemesis, and that is Augusta National. And so instead of trying to play to win, if Rory was up in his kitchen trying to get the victory and take it away from him, Rory had to play against himself, and he was trying not to lose. And that's what we saw down the stretch, but ultimately he was able to overcome that.
And Todd, we just had Padraig Harrington on. That was the exact thing that he said. Rory is not comfortable playing defensive. So when Rory is aggressive, it's the best version of Rory McIlroy. Like we saw that stretch from, call it, 3 to 10 when he went 4 under, took that 4-shot lead. The worst version of Rory McIlroy is on 13 when he's trying to play conservative, defensive, hits the poor wedge shot, makes double, then he's on the back foot. It was just wild seeing the pendulum swing so quickly back and forth to jaw-dropping wedge shot in the water on 13 to one of the best shots we've ever seen on 15. Rex, as you write the story now with where Rory is in his career arc, is he clearly the best player of his generation post-Tiger, and where does he stack up among Europeans?
His generation, full stop, yes. He is the best player of his generation. I clearly do not count Tiger Woods being of Rory McIlroy's generation. I don't even think there's a conversation anymore. I'm fascinated by the idea that Rory achieved something on Sunday that I don't want to say it's the end of the road, but everything that comes after this, another major, another Masters, a FedEx Cup, a player of the year, it's just another line on a resume. His resume is completed. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that. As far as what comes next, I've heard this a lot over the last 12 hours since he won, and I tend to agree with the idea. This can only open the floodgates. This can only lead him to bigger and better things because he doesn't have the weight of not having won a major for a decade and the career Grand Slam and the green jacket. That has to be such a relief for him.
Todd, when you look at the dominance of Scottie Scheffler, who entering this one, a lot of the conversation was about would this be the third time he slips on that jacket in 4 years? And Todd, it clearly became about Rory. He'll be the story for a long time moving forward, post this win in Augusta, capping off the career slam. But how much was Scottie's run, in any way, did that have an impact possibly on Rory and what he was able to achieve on Sunday?
Look, Rory McIlroy can thank a lot of people in the fact that he now has the career Grand Slam on his resume. He can thank his swing coach, Michael Bannon, who's been with him since he was a kid in Northern Ireland. He can thank his putting coach, Brad Faxon. He can thank his sports psychologist, Bob Rutella. But he can also thank Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler winning 9 times worldwide, winning the Players, winning the FedEx Cup, winning the gold medal in the Olympics, winning the Masters, really forced Rory to look at himself in the mirror and say, why am I not playing like Scottie Scheffler? To Rex's point, I am the greatest player of this generation consistently. Why am I following this guy? I mean, look, and he respects the heck out of Scottie Scheffler. So he went late last year into a studio, corrected the deficiencies with his swing, basically by himself. He studied how Scottie Scheffler approached golf, not being results-oriented, but staying in the process, and it deeply respects Scottie's attitude, tried to mimic that, put himself in a better position off the golf course, tried to alleviate the external and internal pressure on himself. It worked immediately. His first start at Pebble Beach on the PGA Tour in 2025, followed up with the Players. That's the best I've seen Rory McIlroy, both on and off the golf course, entering the Masters this year. And a lot of credit goes to Scottie Scheffler pushing him to become a better player.
Rex, your cohort and VP Ryan Labner on the pod was queuing up the Super Slam hype, considering that Rory's already won the Players and the Masters. Projecting going forward, 2014's Rory's career year, he had 4 wins worldwide, BMW PGA, 2 majors, a WGC. Do you think Rory could potentially push past that in 2025?
Well, first off, no one could ever accuse our colleague Ryan Labner of being a prisoner of the moment. He's real quick to move on to whatever the next big thing is, and that one surprised me a little bit. I like the conversation about suddenly he struggled for an entire decade to reach the career Grand Slam, but somehow in 2025 he's going to pull off the unthinkable and win the single-season Grand Slam. I will say yes. I don't know how that's not the answer. When you look at The next PGA Championship's at Quail Hollow, where he's won multiple times. He has the course record. We all know his game is tailor-made for U.S. Open venues, and we expect a true U.S. Open venue this year. I guess the outlier for me will be the Open Championship this year because it returns to Royal Portrush. We know what it would mean to him to win the Open Championship in his country in Northern Ireland. I think that comes with a level of pressure. But if we're having this conversation 10 years from now, I'm going to be stunned if we're still talking about him just having that many majors that he hasn't added to his portfolio since then, because the only thing I can imagine Sunday did was free him up.
You would certainly think so. Guys, great job last week on Live from the Masters. It was fun watching from Augusta National, and hopefully you get a little time off after golf today.
Thank you. Rex, are we working Hilton Head?
Yes, we are.
All right, take care.
Yeah, no rest for the wicked then, all right? We'll see you guys later this week.
All right, you got it.